Live. Live. Hip, two, three, four. Hip, two, three, four. Lift. Hip. We're the team at EFR.
We're the team at EFR.
Make the most of what we are.
Make the most of what we are.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
To His glory we now sing.
To His glory we now sing.
Hip, hip, two, three, four, hip. Hip, two, three, four, hip.
All right, you soldiers in the army of Yahweh, this is your wake-up call. I'm Pastor Steve, and this wake-up call is for the 24th of August, 2017. The title of this show is The Sword of Yahweh. Now, I only have two sets of scripture I'm going to be going through today. It applies to what's going on in the world today and what we have to look forward to and what we must do. Pardon me, I had a cough. I'm going to be starting out in the book of Judges, chapter 7. Verse 7, this is the story of Gideon and how he was going against the Midianites. And he had all these people. And Yahweh said, no, send these people back. And then he had so many other people. He says, no, send those people back. And what he whittled it down to 300 men. All right, now what is this symbolic of? This is symbolic of the remnant, small in number. So let's start reading at verse 7. I'm going to be doing Judges 7 through 7:25. 7 through 7:25. I'll be reading from the King James Version and fixing words as they need fixing. I've got them memorized. Verse 7. And Yahweh said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped, will I save you. Okay, who's the Savior? Yahweh. And deliver the Midianites into your hand. All right, who are the Midianites a symbol of but the minions of the adversary today? Okay. And let all the other people go, every man unto his place. In other words, we don't need them. I'm going to be there with you. Judges 7, verse 8. So the people took victuals, that's food, in their hand, and their shofars, not trumpets, shofars, that's a ram's horn that they blew in battle. It has a distinct, very vibrant, powerful sound. And he sent all the rest of Israel, every man, unto his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. And I'm losing my breath here just a second. Oh, that's rough. Let me get a drink of water. Now we come to verse 9 in chapter 7 of Judges. And it came to pass the same night that Yahweh said unto him, Arise, get you down unto the host, for I have delivered it into your hand. That is the host, or the army of the Midianites. Verse 10, But if you fear to go down, go thou with Phurah, your servant, down to the host. So he was going to send him down to spy on them. Verse 11, And you shall hear what they say, and afterwards shall your hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Phurah his servant unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. In other words, the camp guards. Chapter 7, verse 12. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east, that's Kedem, that's the Arabs, lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitudes. Lots and lots and lots and lots of them, okay? And their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for multitude. Okay, let me clear my lungs again. Every time I try to talk, I have to cough. Verse 13 of chapter 7. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, Behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came unto a tent, and smote it that it fell, and overturned it that the tent lay along its side. Verse 14, And his fellow answered and said, This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for unto his hand has Elohim delivered Midian and all the host. Verse 15 of chapter 7. And it was, so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped. In other words, he prostrated himself, and that's what 7812 means, to prostrate oneself and praised Yahweh, and returned unto the host of Israel, and said, Arise, for Yahweh has delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men unto three companies. That's 100 men per company. Small in number against the hosts of the Midianites. Like the remnant of true Israel today is small in number against the host of the Edomites. And he put a shofar in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, Look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with a shofar, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the shofars also on every side of all the camp, and say, The sword of Yahweh and of Gideon. Now the sword of is implied in this statement, but it will be backed up later. Verse 19 of chapter 7. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. That's the late at night. And they had but newly set the watch. Those were the camp guards that went around. They had watches. And they blew the shofars and broke the pitchers that were in their hands, thereby exposing those lamps and lights. Verse 20 of chapter 7. And the three companies blew the shofars and broke the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the shofars in their right hands to blow. And they cried, the sword. Now here the sword is in here. That's number 2719. The sword of Yahweh and of Gideon. Verse 21, and they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. That's the host of Midian. The 300 men terrified all those troops because Yahweh's hand was in it with them. That's the only reason. Yahweh was there. Verse 22 of chapter 7. And the 300 blew the shofars, and Yahweh set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host, and the host fled to Bethshittah in Zeraroth, and to the border of Abel Meholah unto Taboth. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali and out of Asher and out of all Manasseh and pursued after the Midianites. And Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites and take before them the waters unto Bethbara and Yarden. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and took the waters unto Bethbara and Yarden. And they took two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeeb, and they slew Oreb upon the rock Oreb, and Zeeb they slew at the winepress of Zeeb, and pursued Midian and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeeb to Gideon on the other side of the Jordan. And that ends that reading in the book of Judges. We have a parallel here. All right, the 300 of the host of Gideon that Yahweh had sent all the others away and kept the 300, the remnant of Israel today are the 300 of Gideon. The others of Israel are hanging back and are not doing anything. Only the remnant is crying out and teaching the word. The others are still asleep, living in apostasy, and they have not awakened yet. Who will lead in the upcoming battle? It will be the sword of Yahweh, the remnant. The remnant will be called out and protected as Gideon's troops, the 300 against all the multitudes, were protected. Who are the Midianites? They are the Edomites of today. And their minions, because not only were there the Midianites against them, they had the children of the east, the Arab, who are they bringing in but the Muslims, the children of the east? The The Amalekites, who are the Amalekites? Those are the straight up Jews, brothers and sisters. Who's Amalek today against true Israel? The Edomites and their minions. Wake up. They are not Yahweh's chosen people. They are not. Don't be fooled. They are pretenders. They are evil. They are sponsoring all of this violence today. They are paying for it. And what was the fate of the Midianites and the children of the east and the Amalekites back in Gideon's day? They were slain and were driven before Israel. What happened? The 300 of Gideon led, and then the rest of Israel piled on. We are going to be the leaders. We are leading today in the information war. The remnants are spreading the word. And the Jews and their minions are panicking. These libtard race traitor whites and the Black Lives Matter, they're going ballistic. That's what Antifa is a panic of the enemy troops. Just like Yahweh set the sword of everyone against his fellow in the Midianite camp, they self-destructed, they fought among themselves. That's what's starting to happen, and that is what will happen on the day of Yahweh when he comes back with his wrath. We will know. We will know when it is time to fight. Don't jump the gun. All these false flags and these fake rallies that are setups, be wiser than the serpent and harmless as the dove. Keep a low profile. Doesn't mean not to prepare. You know me, I'm a prepper. You need to be ready for any situation, and self-defense is scriptural. I can't go further than that because I don't want to wind up in prison again. I have to be very careful how I phrase things. I cannot do any good for my people back behind bars. Okay, so running off the mouth and advocating any type of violence, you won't hear that from me. Even if it would be justified, I won't say it. I have to stay on the outside and on the front lines. I cannot do any good, and I cannot teach the word behind bars. So I'm going to remain squeaky clean. If you don't like that, you think I'm cowardly. I did 13 years in prison because I have a pair. And I stood up when I was young, when others would not stand up. So I don't want to hear this business, oh, you're just scared. Been there, done that, paid my dues. So now is my time on the radio teaching the word and exhorting the rest of Israel to righteousness. That's my job now. And if you don't think I'm a marked man because of what I say on the radio, you're very naive. They know full well who I am. I just don't give them a reason to kick my door in and arrest me. I can think what I want. But unfortunately, in the situation today, I can't say it. There will be a time for that when everything breaks down and it is rapidly approaching. And at that point, there won't be any law. And the Fed Gov will be so busy trying to survive themselves, they won't worry about a little fish like me. Let us turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 51. That's the book of Jeremiah, chapter 51. We will be beginning at verse 5, as soon as I can get a breath in. Boy, that just my lungs just lock up on me. Okay. Here's verse 5 in Jeremiah 51. I'm reading from the King James. I've got eSword up. And it's easier for me to see this big print and scroll down. For Israel has not been forsaken, nor Yehuda of his Elohim, of Yahweh of hosts. Though their land was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel. That's guilt, 816, Asham. Okay, filled with guilt against the Holy One of Israel. Let's stop right here. Are not all our lands, our Israel lands today where we are in dispersion, not filled with guilt, with sin, with homosexuals openly parading in the street, and transgenders and mixed race couples? Outright homosexuality, even in the churches, in the government, illegal laws being passed by all the governments, not just ours here, but all of them. Tell the people in Great Britain, the real Brits, that they have freedom of speech, and they'll look at you and laugh. They are highly restricted. The people in Germany, you go to prison for saying things or thinking or writing articles. They have no free speech. We're the last nation, really, that has freedom. And they're cranking down on us. They're taking down websites, they're censoring everything. If you have a politically incorrect thought and happen to express it in something, they'll pull your website down off the internet. The serverless internet is going to be the next thing where they have no control, where they can't pull stuff down. So, we are in the same condition that Israel was in back in Jeremiah's time. We are full of apostasy. The Judeo-Christian churches teach apostasy. Pagan holidays, Christmas and Easter, and all this other nonsense. Worshiping on the day of the sun god. Catholic Church with all its pagan statues. We are in serious sin and guilt. We have guilt against Yahweh. But He is allowing us to live at this point. And He is taking His remnant out from among the general population of Israel. He is separating the sheep from the goats, in other words. those that repent and give up their apostasy, they have a shot at it. But those that refuse and stay within the herd because they don't want to lose their place in this world will lose their eternal life. And it's a shame. And it grieves me to say that. But you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. And that's what we're doing. We're telling people, we're reading the scriptures daily for people to hear. We've got downloads. We've got all kinds of shows. We're making somewhat of an impact, but none comes to the Father unless He draw him. We're only going to get the ones that Yahweh sends our way. So I leave it on Yahweh and just keep preaching. That's what He wants me to do. And I will obey, and I will keep His feasts and the Fast of Atonement and observe the food laws and do what I can to be a good, worshipful Israelite. That's all I can do. If people listen, that's fine. That Yahweh brings them to hear. And the ones that are not going to hear are not going to hear, no matter if I shout it from the rooftops. They won't listen. Okay. Let's go to verse 6. Flee out of the midst of Babylon. And that's where we're living. We're living in the Babylonian system. Flee out from it. And deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity, because that's what it is. It's all iniquity. This world, the Babylonian system, is nothing but iniquity. For this is the time of Yahweh's vengeance. It's starting now, just like it did then. He rendered judgment on Babylon. Babylon was destroyed then, and it will be again. They don't learn by their any lessons. And we of the Babylonian system, not the city, but we have the Babylonian system. For this is the time of Yahweh's vengeance, and He will render unto her a recompense. Okay, recompense. 1576. An act by Yahweh. He's going to come down on them hard. The Babylonian system, which is the money system and all that goes with it, will fall. Verse 7 in chapter 51. Babylon has been a golden cup in Yahweh's hands that made all the earth, that's all the land, 776 Eretz, drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine, therefore the nations are mad. Halal. To be clear or clamorously foolish, to rave, celebrate, stultify, They have made a show. All the nations have been infected with the sins of Babylon and their world banks and are raging in their own destruction. They're drunken with this money system. They're drunken with the power, because they put these armies together and they've got the Jewish banking system, and the leaders are part and parcel to that, so they're arrogant in their power. But that's all going to crash. Here we go. Verse 8 of chapter 51 of Jeremiah. Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. Howl for her. Take balm for her pain, if so be she may be healed. All right, she may be healed. They had a chance to get out of the Babylonian system, and they had a chance. We've been telling them, stop this World Bank, stop the National Federal Reserve, which isn't federal or reserve. Stop these international banksters. Well, you have a chance, or they wouldn't do it, okay? Verse 9, we would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed, because Yahweh is punishing. And Yahweh will bring this system down. Back to verse 9. Forsake her and let us go everyone into his own country. For her judgment reaches unto heaven and is lifted up even to the skies. That's what's coming. When this crashes by Yahweh's hand, it's going to be huge, overwhelming, that it's going to be appalling what happens when the system crashes. There will be blood in the streets up to the horses' bridles. People will go nuts when their check stops and they run out of beer and the TV doesn't work, the electric's shut off. The grocery stores are all looted. No trucks are coming in bringing supplies. The cities are going to boil over and explode. They will burn. The people that live in them will burn them. Their local politicians that have lied to them, they won't be in power anymore, and their lives will be forfeit. The people will revolt, and no matter how many troops they bring to bear, there's just too many people for the Babylonian thugs to handle. And they will be so busy worrying about their own butt, half of them won't show up, if not more. You see what happened at that rally. The cops were ordered to stand down. People are aware now that the government agencies caused that. The mayor, the vice mayor, all those left-wing radicals, the Black Panther vice mayor. How long do you think people are going to let that go on? You think they're going to stand for that forever? Well, they've taken it so far, but it's coming to a screeching halt. People are waking up. The enemy is exposing itself by its own actions, with a little help from people like EFR, shouting from the rooftops, the voice crying in the wilderness. It's coming to pass. Get back to Jeremiah here, chapter 51, verse 10. Yahweh has brought forth our righteousness. That's the remnant. Live by Yahweh's rules. That's what we teach. Come and let us declare in Zion the work of Yahweh, our Elohim. That's what we're doing. We're shouting the power of Yahweh. Only through Yahweh will we win this. Through no other means, not on our own, presumptively. You cannot rely on arms. You have to rely on Yahweh. He will bring the victory and no one else. Verse 51:11. Make bright the arrows, gather the shields. Yahweh has raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes for his device against Babylon. In other words, they are going to fight among themselves. The enemy will fight among themselves. The enemies are enemies of each other. And they will betray one another and stab each other in the back. And there will be pitched battles between them. Yahweh will use them to destroy themselves. They will do that. Just like the Midianites fought among themselves through Yahweh's confusion and terror that he brought upon them during Gideon's time. Here we are in Jeremiah's time. He's raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes for his device against Babylon to destroy it, because it is the vengeance of Yahweh, the vengeance of his temple. Temple's destroyed today. The temple is us. We are each an individual temple that we should keep holy unto Yahweh. All right, verse 12. Set up the standard, that's a battle standard, upon the walls of Babylon. Make the watch strong, set up the watchmen, prepare the ambushes, for Yahweh has both devised and done that which he spoke against the inhabitants of Babylon. So in other words, whatever you do, bring your thugs out, get your SWAT teams ready, do all of that, and it's not going to do you a bit of good. Get your National Guard troops, do whatever you want. Doesn't matter what you do, enemy. Yahweh is against you. You will not stand. He, not us, he will destroy you. He will start from within. He is doing that now. He is destroying your power now. There will be physical battles and everything will break down and the remnant will sit back until it is time, until our commanding general, Yeshua, comes. And then we will mop up. The ones that have survived that are of the evil one will be slain to the last man, because Yeshua said, bring them before me and slay them. And says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 about the flaming fire and all the avenging angels coming down, what earthly troops are going to stand against that? Come on. Come on. I know a lot of the libtards and stuff don't want to believe it. They don't believe in Yahweh. They don't believe in Yahweh's wrath. That's just tough. I don't care what they believe. It's coming on them whether they like it or not. Doesn't mean a hill of beans what they like. Their opinion does not matter. They can spew that libtard garbage on the Jews media all they want, and it doesn't mean a thing. They're going to have to deal with the fact that Yahweh is the king of the universe, the divine being, and they are nothing before him. As we are nothing before him, and we realize that and praise him for it, and he loves us. Them he does not love. They are not going to get the mercy that we get. No mercy for them. When the time of grace is over and the time of wrath arrives, their goose is cooked. Oh, but he loves everybody. No, he does not. That's another lie that they perpetrate. He does not love the minions of the adversary. The Jews themselves and those that serve the Jews. Even those of Israel that are serving the wrong side. They're dooming themselves. You see, redemption and salvation are a voluntary thing, and they require repentance and action on the part of those being redeemed. You cannot be redeemed if you just say, oh, I believe. Belief is not enough. You have to act on it. You have to live the life. And most people don't want to break away from all their toys and games and alcohol and drugs and sex and dirty movies and whatever. they don't want any part of that. They won't live in this world. Well, you're going to suffer the fate of this world if you live in this world. If you love this world so much, you're going to go with the world. All right, let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 13. O you that dwell upon many waters, abundant in treasures, your end is come. The measure of your covetousness, the people that love stuff. Stuff, stuff, stuff. Fancy cars and jewelry and five-star restaurants where you have to have a 6 months wait to get a reservation. Oh, we're just part of the elite. Boy, oh boy. Let's go to verse 14. Yahweh of hosts has sworn by himself, saying, surely I will fill you with men as with caterpillars, and they shall lift up a shout against you. Verse 15, he has made the land by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom. Okay, stop right here. They have the earth in the King James. That's 776. That's eretz. That's the land or the physical ground. And the world, 8398, is Tabel. That's the actual world, the whole world. He has established the world by his wisdom. He has stretched out the heaven by his understanding. In other words, by his will alone, he made all these things. And these people think they're going to fight against him? Oh, please! Verse 16, when he utters his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the land. He makes lightnings with his rain and brings forth the wind from his treasures, from his treasure house. Okay? He does all of this stuff. They're spraying their chemtrails and playing with the weather. They don't control it. They don't control anything. They just think they do. Verse 17. Every man is brutish by his knowledge. In other words, we think we know so much, we don't know doodly squat. What we don't know far outweighs what we do. Every founder is confounded by the graven image. For his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. That's the idols that people worship. And they worship idols today. Maybe not just statues like the Catholics do, but they set other things up before Yahweh, and that's an idol. And none of that stuff are... None of those things are capable of saving them. Verse 18, they are vanity, that's worthlessness, the work of errors. That's 85:95. That's error, a fraud. They're fraudulent, like the money system here. In the time of their visitation, they shall perish. When Yahweh comes back to visit punishment, they're going to just be destroyed. All the idols of men, whether it's an actual graven image or something in the world that they worship more than Yahweh. Verse 19, the portion of Jacob is not like them. That's we don't worship, we of Jacob Israel, do not worship those things. We have the remnant. Now, there's a lot in Israel that are doing that. And they're going to have to come out from among them, or they will doom themselves. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. Yahweh of hosts is his name. You know what a rod is? It's a symbol of authority and a method of punishment. And it means a stick that they used to beat people with or use for fighting. You'd smite with your rod and you'd kill a man. Here we go. Verse 20, Jeremiah 51, 20. Who are we? You are my battle axe and weapons of war. For with you I will break in pieces the nations. And with you I will destroy kingdoms. He's speaking of Israel. What is our job as true Israel? If we are the sword of Yahweh and his battle axe and his weapons of war, you think we will be spared from the fight? You think he will not send us out as warriors? Wake up, Israel. You men of Israel, specifically, listen to what I'm telling you here. Verse 21, and with you I will break in pieces the horse and his rider. Well, they don't use horses today. They use motorized transport. Those things explode and burn real well, along with the people in them. With you I will break in peace the horse and his rider. And with you I will break in pieces the chariot and his rider. Same thing, military stuff. With thee also I will break in pieces man and woman. And with thee I will break in pieces old and young. And with thee will I break in pieces the young man and the maid. Verse 23, I will also break in pieces with you the shepherd and his flock. That's pastors, false pastors and false congregations. And with thee will I break in pieces the husbandman and his yoke of oxen. And with thee will I break in pieces captains and rulers. And that'll end my scripture reading here on verse 23. We're coming down the end of the line here, folks. I know a lot of people are saying, oh man, you're just an alarmist, and you're this and you're that, and they call names, and it just rolls off of me like water off a duck's back. Doesn't mean it. Their opinions mean doodly squat to me. I don't care what they think. The only opinion I care about is Yahweh's opinion. Am I doing what he has commanded me to do? And am I serving him to the best of my ability? And that question applies to you. What are you doing to serve Yahweh? Are you teaching your children daily in the Word? If not, why not? Are you letting the devil vision raise them? Sit them in front of that thing and give them a game thing and they play satanic video games? And watch stuff on that devil vision that will warp their little young minds into Satan's service? Are you letting that machine of the Jews raise your children? Are you witnessing to people at work? Are you witnessing to people on the street? Are you going into the Judeo-Christian churches and asking questions? May make you very unpopular. You may be asked to leave. I know my friend Leroy has been asked to leave. But he is like a bulldog for Yahweh. He doesn't quit. He lays it on the line. My sister Marilyn, goes to Bible studies, and she brings up stuff, and now the women are listening to her because she is a witness for Yahweh and Yeshua. And she asks questions, and she brings research material. Are you doing any of that? I'm not asking you to do anything I don't do. Am I popular among the general population? No. But is this a popularity contest? Is that all this is? You in this to be popular? What do you care what the children of the devil and their servants think? Why would you care about that? Why would it be important to you? Don't worry about being politically correct. Worry about being biblically correct, because this world is going to pass away. Only those who truly will serve Yahweh are going to make it through this mess. The rest are going to be numbered among the goats and will be bundled and burned. People that call you names, they hate your master, Yeshua. Of course they'll hate you if you are truly a sheep of his flock. They'll hate you because of his name. They love this world and all the nonsense in it. That's their little G God. Our God is bigger. Ours is more powerful. Ours is the driving force of the universe itself. Ours is the Redeemer of true Israel. Ours took the form of a man and surrendered a life and a blood sacrifice to cover over our sins. I don't know what else I can say, but I keep on keeping on each week. I read my scriptures in the word for word Bible study and give you the most accurate description of the word that I can, because that blessing has been given to me. Some don't believe it, but I don't care. I know what Yahweh has done in my life, completely remaking me. And I am so grateful for it. I hate what I was. I hate the man that I was. I hate the life that I lived before. I don't belong in this world because I am born from above. I was given that holy spark by Yahweh at my birth. And yes, I went along with the world for a certain period of my life in it. But none comes to the Father unless he calls him. And he has called me. And I have left the world. I'm stuck in it physically. My body is here, deteriorating. I'm 70 and I'm not the big strong youth that I was, but I am a lot wiser, and that is more strength than physical strength. He has given me understanding of the word, which is a blessing beyond measure. And if you seek that, he will give it to you also. But you have to seek it. You have to earnestly turn aside from this world, get off that fence, and go over into Yahweh's camp, and you will be blessed. You will get the understanding that you need. He opens up your mind. He opens up your eyes. He opens up your ears. you see and hear and observe and experience things in their proper order. You will get what you need, not necessarily what you want, but what you need. And what you need is to be closer to Yahweh. We have battles coming up. It's patently obvious that the violence is increasing, and that our people are the subject of the attacks. We have to gird our loins for war with spiritual preparation first. Get strong in the spirit. Get close to Yahweh. Follow His commandments. Then you will be hedged about with divine protection. That's another thing. Physically prepare for the tribulation which we are entering now. We are in the opening stages. We are coming out of Jacob's trouble. We are coming into the physical tribulation with all the violence and upcoming war. They are going to force a world war upon us. That is their plan. They are working toward it, and it will be a terrible, terrible time. There will be a societal breakdown that is prophesied in the book of Revelations. I am not a prophet. I just repeat what I read in the scriptures. That's not prophecy. That's scripture reading. The prophets have come, the prophets have gone. I haven't heard a prophet. I know there have been a bunch of false ones that claim that, but I'm not one of them. David James is not a prophet. He's a teacher because he reads his scripture. Pastor Mullett, Pastor Visser, Eli, Greg Howard. None of us are prophets. We're not prophesying. We're reading what has already been written by the prophets that Yahweh sent that the elders years ago wouldn't listen to. They wouldn't listen. And many are not listening again. They don't want that Old Testament. They want to get rid of it, and they want to gut and modify the New Testament. Yahweh's having none of that. I'm sorry. It's just not happening. The word is going out. It is causing great panic among the enemy. Praise Yahweh for that. They are self-destructing. They're making bad moves, bad mistakes, exposing themselves. We, the remnant of Israel, men and women, because women play a part in this too, are the sword of Yahweh. The battle will be given to us in due time when our master and commander-in-chief returns, and that is Yeshua Messiah. We are his battle axe and weapons of war. Prepare yourself and trust in Yahweh. Shalom Aleichem. Praise Yahweh.
Lift. Lift. Hip. 2, 3, 4, hip, 2, 3, 4, lift, hip. We're the team at EFR.
We're the team at EFR.
Make the most of what we are.
Make the most of what we are.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
To His glory we now sing.
To his glory we now sing.
Hip, hip, two, three, four, hip. Hip, two, three.